everyone calls out your name. From this day on, the past is gone. Your life will never be the same.
Talked before about this sort of effortless elegance and style that he had, and I always think, looking at him, he just seems sort of timeless. You know, if you think about him in a film now, he would, you know, a modern day film, he'd fit in. And do you think he would have made a good James Bond?
Originally, that's who they wanted.
Really?
Yeah, that's who they wanted.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, I think he just retired, and I believe I might be wrong here, and I'm sure there's many James Bond aficionados that will correct me, but Ian Fleming wrote James Bond with Cary Grant in mind, and
yeah, I didn't know that.
I think he was offered a Casino Royale. I think he was offered that.
That was Dave Niffen, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he only, I think they wanted him for three films, and he would never do three films. He only ever wanted to sign for one film. Plus, it was very late in his career. I mean, I would imagine if it had come in the mid-40s or late 30s, that same sort of thing, he would have said yes. But no, as far as I know, it was Ian Fleming wrote a lot of it with Cary Grant in mind. And if you look at North by Northwest, that perhaps is the closest he gets to a James Bond role. But you're right, I mean, today he would fit into virtually any film with ease, and people would flock to see him today. He just had that, being a man, I don't understand what it was.
Let me help you with that.
And I wish I had it. But
Timeless sex appeal?
Well, if that's what you say, yes, I'll just have to agree with you. Yeah, he just had that look that perhaps men wanted to be and women wanted to bed, if you like. He had the classic, I don't know if you can say classic matinee idol looks, but he was just, it's just the face he was born with, and it just appealed to a lot of people. And just the way he carried himself, the politeness, he was just a gentleman's gentleman, if you like. And the famous phrases that he would always come out with was that everybody wants to be Cary Grant, even I want to be Cary Grant, is what he'd often say.
Was he quite a modest man?
I don't know. I've never really sort of thought about that. I think he comes across as quite modest. I mean, I've got various music heroes, shall we say, that I've read a lot about recently, and they really haven't come out too well out of what I've read, and I've been quite disappointed. But I think he probably was quite modest, yeah. I don't think he ever liked to shine his light too much. I don't think he ever had to either.
Mm.
I think he just went. I just think there was an aura around him that was just there, and as seemingly with everything in his life, he didn't have to try very hard, but a bit like a duck underneath the water, the feet are going 9 to the dozen to, make the effortless smooth, I think he paid the price. I think that, for having that, he paid the price of his childhood, perhaps.
What do you mean?
Well, I think everything seemed so effortless to him, and everybody would want to be that person. But inside that person... Let me quote you from the very end of the musical. There's a song called Chasing Fame, which we use 3 times in the show. The first time is Bob Pender sings it to Cary Grant, the young Archie Leach, telling him about how fame, it's hard to achieve and all that sort of thing. And then it comes again in the middle of the show where the first line is, now the world wants your picture, everybody wants to know your name. He's a success, and we twist the chasing fame round a bit. And then right at the very end of the show, we turn it on its head, the song, or I turned it on its head, Chasing Fame, where the character of Archie sings fame, the perfect illusion. So to the outside world, everything was effortless, but inside there perhaps, for so much of his life was just a turmoil going on. Which again, that comment of the insecure Archie Leach still shows through, comes back to what a lot of people would see sometimes in him.
Fame, the perfect illusion, a world where nothing is real. They all know your face, they speak your name, but none know the life you have led, chasing fame. What's the game? Just who is the winner, chasing fame? Suits no pain. Life is just a
very highly regarded by his fellow actors and actresses, wasn't he?
Yeah. I don't think you'd find anybody that would speak a bad word of him or anyone. And it's quite interesting, when we were in Hollywood, we couldn't walk down the street without bumping into somebody who had a Cary Grant story. I remember once we were sitting on a bus, I think coming back from Paramount Studios, and we were talking to the guy next to us, and he said, "Oh, hi, you know, what are you doing in town?" I said, "Well, we're researching Cary Grant." "Oh, I met him once, you know, something," and he had all this good story about him. And so we were somewhere else, and you'd hear another story about him, and it just seemed like everybody had met him and everybody had a good story to. And to think that would be 15 years after his death, you know. So
he left an impression, didn't he?
Yeah. And I think even today, he leaves an impression. There's one or two adverts that have appeared recently using his image as a sort of style. You know,
And it was from North by Northwest, actually. Yeah, took it from that.
Yeah, and there's even some film clips, I think, starting to appear now in adverts, which he probably would have been resented the fact he wasn't getting paid for them. But but even today he would easily fit into anything, I think, quite easily. He's just, as you said earlier, he's just timeless.
One thing that always struck me was this very distinctive voice that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a rumour that the character Captain Scarlet,
mm-hmm,
his voice was based on Cary Grant.
Cary Grant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any truth in that?
No, that's absolutely true. Well, I believe, I have heard the story, but I can't remember it exactly, but roughly, they were casting people to do the voice of Captain Scarlet, and they'd been through lots and lots of people and couldn't find anybody. And they listened to one person, and he wasn't quite right, and they were about to let him go, and he said, "Well, hang on a minute, let me try my Cary Grant voice." So he did his best Cary Grant voice for them, and they hired him on the spot. And in the credits, where it says the voices, it's got C.Y. Grant, Cy Grant, as one of the things. And it's something I joke with a friend of mine about, is that if somebody would have asked him to do it, something where his face wouldn't have been seen, he probably would have done it, which I find quite bizarre.
Presumably he knew that his voice was being imitated in this show, did he? Or did that never get back to him?
Captain Scarlet was somewhere around
70s.
Late 60s, yeah. 70s. Difficult to say if he never knew, but then Tony Curtis was doing
Some Like It Hot.
Yeah, although Tony Curtis always insisted it wasn't me, and Cary Grant would go and say, "I don't sound like that, no, I can't do my I've lost my Cary." I used to be able to do quite a good Cary Grant impression, but it's sort of faded. It's faded with the... I used to do a very good, "Hello, darling." But, that's... that's left me now.
How did he die?
He died in 1986, I think it was with a brain hemorrhage. He was on stage, like all these great people seem to go on stage, which reminds me of Eric Morecambe, that he went on stage too, and the two of them were friends.
Eric Morecambe and Cary Grant were friends?
Yeah, and in fact...
Strange connection.
Yeah, but Cary Grant thought Eric Morecambe was a great comedian. And they met several times, and their wives, I think, were friends. And he was on stage giving one of his conversation with Cary Grant, and I think it was just shortly after that he passed away. And interestingly enough, a couple of years earlier, there had been a photo of him on a lot of papers. I think he turned 80. And people thought he had died because his photo... And they suddenly realised, gosh, Cary Grant is 80. They always see him. And this thing, again, of him having retired just about his peak, although his peak lasted a long time, but he was still so much in the public psyche. And when I started writing the show, you'd pick up the paper every week, and there were two or three Cary Grant films on the television every single week, and there still are today. You go to any video store or anything like that, and they're still there on the shelf, still selling in their bucket loads, and, you know, as popular today as ever.
If you had to describe him, mm-hmm. after all the research you've done and the play and the musical, what would your impression be of him? If you had to describe him to someone else?
Complicated. There's always that thing of who, what's your ideal dinner table? People to sit here, and he would be one of my guests at the ideal dinner table. And I think probably his mother would be as well, because I think she's just such a fascinating character. But I think having both of them at a dinner table probably wouldn't be a good idea. But I think complicated. I think professional, outstanding ability at what he did. As to what kind of man he was, if he was sitting down with you in this room, he'd be polite. He'd be kind, he'd be very generous, and he'd walk out the room, and that's how you probably would remember him forever. But again, I go back to what was happening inside there. I don't think you'd ever really get near, because I think it's so complicated. You know, this Cary Grant persona is all a shell, and he said it often himself, you know, Cary Grant is just this persona he puts on. So whether that persona ever slipped anywhere, who knows, but it was never ever seen in public that it did. And reading through the books, you read one or two stories, but there's never any consistent thing that says, you know, that persona ever slipped. He was, and I think to keep that persona up, if you like, you have to be 90% of that persona. You know, you have to be that person you're projecting, to keep projecting it all the time, because nobody can keep up an act. Eventually you do slip into however you are, but, you know, for the last time, underneath, he was very complicated.
You know, you were saying earlier on, when you were doing your research, there's mm-hmm. not an awful lot written
by him.
Mm. He must have been approached to do an autobiography. Why do you think he decided not to do it?
I think, again, the complex reason of how do you deal with his, with the truth of what happened about his mother. I think that follows him through his whole life, and I don't think it ever escaped him. I think he learned to live with it and deal with it very well, but it took a lot of time. I mean, I might be totally wrong. He might have got over it, forgotten it about it, and she was at the end part of his life and everything was fine. But I have a suspicion that he found it very difficult for the rest of his life. And again, you read in magazines, books, that every time he'd go back to Bristol, he'd start feeling nervous as soon as he left the airport, and he'd start coughing and clearing his throat because he was going back to meet his mother. And she had that domineering hold over, I think, over him for the rest of his life, because back at the beginning she was overprotective, and it all comes back, you know, the whole, and again, as I was saying earlier, that the nature nurture, the sort of, are we what we are, is it destined before we're even born, you know, the story of John Leach dying, and the effect that had on Elsie, which is the effect it had on Elias, which was the effect it had on Archie, which carries on into Cary Grant. So yeah, I don't think he ever escaped that. That's the one thing he couldn't escape. He and there was a restlessness in him that always kept him moving on. I mean, I did say before that part of it was timing, that he would move on. He saw what was happening around him and he'd think it's time to move on. When he first went to the States, he thought, no, I'm going to stay here, let's move on. He was on Broadway. No, this seems not to be going the way I think it's going to go. Let's move on, have a chance at Hollywood. You know, so that thing kept him moving on, and I think he needed that as well.